My wife isn't here. She's not feeling well. I had to take her home. And she's normally the one who brings me water. So Dan, would you take care of that, please? Thank you. Seems like when I sing and then start preaching, I oftentimes start coughing. And so I want to eliminate that as much as I can. Well, I hope you've had a good week. How many of you have had some unexpected things come about this week that has taken you out of the God zone? Normally? So, where are you today? Good? Back in it. Good? Thank you, Dan. There are people waiting upstairs for you children. Okay, so you want this to go in the offering? Oh, she wants to give it to me. Thank you, baby. Appreciate that. I love these kids. Aren't they wonderful? So I want you to, before we begin this morning, I want you to stand up and I want you to tell somebody, turn to somebody next to you and say, I love you with the love of the Lord. So sing with me if you know this song. I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. You know, the passage of Scripture says that we need to sing to one another in songs and hymns. So let's stand, and I want you to sing this to someone near you. Sometimes I say to, especially those you don't like, but then you go to those people and they say, what, you didn't like me? So we're not going to do that this time, okay? So you just pick out someone that the Lord lays on your heart and sing that to them, okay? I'm going to change key. It's a little low. I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. One more time. I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. And I want to say to you, I especially love you. I like you and I love you. And you're a wonderful group of people that God has given me the privilege of pastoring. Well, we're studying through Hebrews. Last week we got through verse 1. I'd hope to get further, but that's as far as we got. So now, this morning, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 again. And we're going to look at that passage of Scripture. And God has some marvelous things that He wants to share with us. And I want you to be able to open your heart for those things that He has for you. Some of you possibly came this morning with troubled heart. Sometimes some of you maybe have been distracted. But I would ask that you would just today just focus on what God has for you. Because He's got some marvelous things in store. And if we can retain these things and put it into practice, it's going to change our heart. It's going to change our lives. The title, I've entitled the book of Hebrews, What's the Big Idea? What's the Big Idea? And as we go through Hebrews, you're going to discover what the big idea is. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Read with me if you would. Long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Amen. Before your seat, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask, Scott, would you pray for me as I begin to preach, please? So last week we talked about if you have someone you love, and you want to endear yourself to them, sometimes you write notes. Sometimes you might write letters. Sometimes you may give them gifts. And you make hints of your love to them. There's a lot of different ways that we can do that. And we discovered that that's the way God showed His love to us. But as we read this passage of Scripture, we find that in verse 2, He says, but in the last days, He came to tell us Himself. What's the best way to let people know you love them? To tell them yourself. You know, some people send messengers. God sent messengers to do that. But He said, man, I think He said, they're not getting it. So I'm going to tell them myself. This is an amazing truth. And as we look at who Jesus is, it's going to become more amazing as we go through this sermon today. So who is this guy? Who is this guy that came to tell you and to tell me that He loves you? Number one, He's the heir of all things. Some of you are getting up in age and you're thinking about who am I going to leave my stuff to. You probably are unaware of this, but my great-grandfather had a rock quarry in Mississippi, near Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and the family has been receiving dividends from that rock quarry for years. So, yearly, I get a check for $6.47. Now, I have to retract that. We used to. It's no longer coming. I don't know who's getting my $6.47. Yeah, they'll be sending me a bill next. Some of the wealthiest people on earth are leaving their heirs $2.7 million in inheritance. But this is a pretty miserly sum for what God is giving Jesus. So what does God own? Everything. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. Now, when did Jesus receive these things? I don't know when he received them, but whenever he was here on earth, he had already received them. He said, my Father has already, so he's not waiting for his inheritance in the sweet by and by sometime. He's already received them, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said unto them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. 1 Corinthians 10:26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So, all majesty, all rule, all authority, all power, everything has already been given over to Jesus Christ. So, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are part of that. And here's a passage of Scripture that blows my mind. In Romans chapter 2, verse 8, ask of me, and I will make the nations. Did you have that one? Nope. Okay. So I should have put this one in. This was a very good one. You might need to remember it. You might need to write it down. Psalm chapter 2. Verse 8. There it is. What? Did I say Romans? Well, no wonder you didn't have it. Acts chapter... Rome... That one. That one. Psalm 2:8. Says, ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Now that word nations... has been translated people, Gentiles, and heathen. The King James Version says heathen. Ask of me and I will give the heathen as your heritage. Who are the heathen? Heathen are you and me if we haven't received Christ. One day you were. And so here's the deal. Here's what this passage is saying. Jesus' inheritance is you. Doesn't that blow your mind? Jesus' inheritance is me. And I'm thinking Jesus might be going, woohoo! But actually... he is jumping up and down with joy because we are his inheritance. Because he looks on us differently than oftentimes we look upon ourselves. We are his prized possession. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are Jesus' prized possession. Georgine?
You are Jesus' prized possession.
Thank you.
Is that hard to receive? It is mind-boggling. I mean, if we were just going to meditate on that this week and let that sink down into our heart. Someone who values you, what's your greatest treasure? Let's just say your home. Some of you have antiques. Some of you have other things that you'd pride, and you would just, it would devastate you to part with. Not really anything. Some of you have some prized possessions, and you value that above everything else. It may be your home. If your home burns down, it's like, oh, buddy, you ain't got yours built yet. But if it devastates you to lose something that's very dear and valuable to you, it may be your spouse, it may be a loved one, it may be a child, it may be something on that order. But if you can think of that and then think of Jesus praising you even above and beyond that, that's amazing. It's that guy who's inherited all things, who's inherited you and myself, came to earth to tell you of his love. Second thing is, Scripture says that he is the creator of all things. Jesus is also the creator. It was through him that the worlds were made. In John 1, it says there was nothing made that didn't come through Jesus Christ. Nothing. I have some slides here from some of my favorite pictures from the Hubble telescope that I want to share with you. And so these are actually galaxies. When I was a kid, the only galaxy I knew about was the Milky Way galaxy. And now we're told they're within the sphere of the... Oh, back up, TJ. I'm not quite done. Within the sphere of the Big Dipper, there are like 10 billion galaxies. Isn't that amazing? So anyway, you can go through the slides now. Let's look at some of... Isn't that amazing? Let me get out of your way. That's not a galaxy. That's a gaseous substance that I'm not sure what. You see the four moons around Saturn. Looking at you. Spiral, that's a spiral galaxy. That's a galaxy taken from a picture on the edge of the galaxy. Isn't that amazing? And so, Jesus, this guy, created all of this. The word of his power. He's the one who came to earth to tell you of his life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? If you have artistic abilities, some of you have, and you have the ability to create and design, guess who you got that gift from? Came from the Father. Came from the Father. that's a part of His image. That's a part of who He is. Number three, Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. He is the express image of the Father. He's the radiance of God's glory. He's the radiance of His Father's glory. He's a carbon copy of the original. I went through, as I was preparing this, I was looking at father-son lookalikes on the internet. Now, pretty interesting. I didn't pick any up because I didn't have time to do all of that. But it's pretty interesting to see. There are some of them who look like twins, actually. And I know all of you, everybody's looking at Todd and Jacob. That's what I was thinking of. When I talk about the exact imprint, I'm thinking Todd and Jacob. Todd and Jacob. You want to stand up, Jacob and Todd? Let everybody see you. I got the haircut the same. Turn around, Jacob. See? Same attitude? Yeah. Well, hopefully he will grow out of it. But when you talk about Jesus, so Jesus said, actually in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man. And did you know that not only Jesus is in the image of God, but you yourself are created in the image of God? Did you know that? Now, Adam and Eve, when they were created, here's what I think. So when Adam and Eve were created, they're walking through the garden, and the animals are going, "Oh, here comes God. Oh, no." That's Adam and Eve. Because they're the exact imprint. They're the same as God. And they were mistaking man for God. Now, until after, when the fall happened, then the image kind of got messed up. And the animals had no problem distinguishing between the two. But when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that imprint becomes a part of you. And so then, after you become a Christian, after you've received Christ as your Savior, then there's this part of us who is continuing to grow into the image of Christ. Okay? So now that you've received Christ, you have the divine nature within you. Jesus was made. Created, now I got to take that back. Jesus is, he was not a created being. He always has been. And he is just like his Father. Jesus was exactly like his Father. That's the guy, the glory of the Lord, who came to share his love with us. Have you ever pondered what holds the universe together? To make one complete rotation in 24 hours, a point near the equator of the earth must move close to 1,000 miles an hour. In order to make one rotation around the sun, 24 hours, not around the sun, but the earth to make one rotation at the equator, it's about 1,000 miles an hour. Have you ever wondered why you haven't been slinging off? You didn't even know you were moving at 1,000 miles an hour, did you? You didn't know? Yeah, feels like it sometimes. It's not even a word, slinging off. Well, it's in my Mississippi dictionary. So, scientists have been looking for years for whatever it is that holds the universe together and keeps things from colliding with one another. And they came up with this theory that are called dark matter. Okay? The mysterious substance thought to glue the universe together. And they've just discovered that it might not exist. Throwing current theories of the universe into chaos. Dark matter is thought to make up around 83% of the universe by mass, to hold together galaxies, but a scan of 400 stars near our sun found no trace of it. So this is puzzling the scientists. What holds the universe together? Verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1. Says he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. They can look no further because it's stated right here in Scripture who holds it all together. It's the Lord himself by the word of his power that keeps you from slinging off the earth. By the word of his power, it keeps the galaxies from colliding together. By the word of his power. Have you ever heard of laminin? A few of you have. Laminin. Well, molecular biologists in recent years have found this protein in our bodies, which is a glue-like substance that holds our body together. Now, this is a recent discovery, probably within the last three years or so. And I want you to look at a picture of laminin. So that's what laminin looks like. It looks like a cross. And you can search this on the internet if you choose to. So that's what I did. That's where I've got this picture. And so this is a glue-like substance that keeps our bodies intact. And here's my thought is, I mean, God could have created laminin to look like anything. But I think he designed it in such a way to remind us that it's Jesus Christ who holds everything together. Isn't that amazing? Simply amazing. Now, if anybody asks you what laminin is, you'll know what it is. Oh, yeah, good. Three-stranded cord that holds it together. That is pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So this guy who holds the universe together is the one who came to tell you of his life. Isn't that astounding? He's the creator. He's the inheritor of all things. He holds everything together by the word of his power. This guy came to earth and put himself on the cross. Does that blow your mind or what? The last portion says that Jesus not only came to tell us, convince us, and persuade us of his Father's love, but he came to purge our sins. He came to purge our sins. When I was growing up, I remember my dad telling this story. He didn't say which doctor it was that he got this information from, but I think it was Dr. White in Loosedale, Mississippi. I'm going to use him, whether that's really who it was or not. I'm going to just use him. There was a fellow who came to Dr. White because he had some physical problems. Dr. White told him what he needed to do. He needed to take a cabbage, go home, run a hot bath, and take the cabbage leaves and start washing his body with cabbage leaves. And so my dad asked Dr. White, he said, "Why did you prescribe cabbage leaves for this guy to bathe with? Is there any medicinal purposes in the cabbage leaves?" And Dr. White said, "No, not that I'm aware of. This guy just needed to take a bath." Think about that. My brain goes some weird places sometimes. But I want to talk about being purged from sin and getting this junk, the sin washed out of our lives. I think of this guy who's washing with cabbage leaves. Jesus came to take away our sin. He came to remove the sin from our lives so that we can have a relationship with God the Father. I just want you to pause a minute and I want you to think about who Jesus really is from our discussion this morning. And I want you to begin just offering up words of gratitude to the Father and to the Son for his great love for you. First John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." David said this, and I often have this same question in my mind. What is man that you are mindful of us? What is man that you are mindful of us? Or the Son of Man that you visit him? The Son of God sent messengers. He wrote notes of endearment. He wrote letters of endearment. He sent you hints of his love for you through the flowers and the trees and the creation. And last of all, he sent his Son. He sent his Son to purge you from sin. The Scripture says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us even now. If you have special concerns, Jesus knows that, and He's praying to the Father about those concerns. If you look at your action steps, one of the steps says, I will meditate on the measureless love God has for me this week. And I want you to take some time this week and meditate on that. The second one is, because I am Jesus' inheritance, I determine to live a life pleasing to Him. Number four, there are sins I need to purge from my life. We'll take measures to do so. The last one, I need help overcoming sin in my life. And if you need help and you want to check that box, I will get in touch with you so that I can help you and pray with you and give you the tools you need to be able to overcome those areas in your life. Father, I come before you this morning. Lord, just looking at all that you've done, creation, you're holding it together, all of what we've discussed this morning, Lord, it just blows my mind that you love us like you do. And then you came to, after creating all of that, you yourself came to die for us, to take away our sins. Lord, I want you to be pleased with your inheritance in my life. Lord, I want you to be pleased with the inheritance of this church. Lord, what an astounding love, amazing love that you have for us. Lord, search our hearts. Help us to become more in your image every day. You have planted that seed within us. You have recreated us so that we can be that person. So, Lord, in every area of our lives, we seek to follow you. In every area of our life, we seek to be more like you. Lord, even now, I pray that if there's sin in my life or in the life of any in this church, that you want to remove from them. God, I pray that right now they would submit to you and surrender to you. Because, Lord, sometimes we struggle and we fight and we try and we can't ever seem to get on top of it. But, Lord, with a spoken word, because of the power of your word, you're able to remove those things from us. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would speak that word into our life. And God, that we would be able to live out what you've placed in us. Lord, we ask that you move in our hearts and our lives right now, that we become more and more like you. Purge our sins, we pray. In Jesus' holy name. If you're here this morning,